This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
There it is, Mr. Chris Arnold. Join us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You got myself, Corey Majors, alongside Alec Medford, and we'll be rolling with you for the entire week. Don't forget, on Friday, we'll be at Left Bank at Fort Worth, hanging out at Buffalo Wild Wings, and look forward to seeing you there for all the festivities and fun as we tell Kevin, see you next year.
You told Mike, too?
Tell Mike that. So that goes back.
Yeah, where are all those guys?
That goes back to, and we're waiting on Stephen Jones. We'll talk with him in just a moment. But that goes back to a time where Kevin complained about it, all right? And he said the dumbest thing that somebody will say around the holidays is see you next year. And what do we do whenever Kevin says he doesn't like something? We attack it. All right. Like, that is something. Look, man, there were shirts that said take a load off. Did Kevin get them made? Yes, he got them made. But he just had to give in. He realized there's no reason for me to argue and fight against this anymore. I'm just going to have to give in and enjoy take a load off. But if something's irritating Kevin, it's just more fun to dig in on that. So every year at this time, I tell him, see you next year.
So see you next year to Kevin, and Mike is taking a load off.
Yes, Mike is definitely taking a load off. He did hop on with us, though.
He sure did.
He did hop on with us.
Took a load off with us.
I'm typically not one of those that's like, hey, on your vacation, do you want to work a little bit? But he did hop on with us today, so that was pretty nice of him. I did see this from over the weekend from Miles Garrett. Now, Miles Garrett, local product,
Arlington
who has
Martin.
Gone on to be a fantastic football player, as a matter of fact, got his 100th sack over the weekend. He said, for me, I mean, first of all, I want to win. I want the Browns to be able to put me and us in a position to win. I'm not trying to rebuild. I'm trying to win right now. I want to be a parent when the season's over and we have those discussions. I want them to be able to illuminate that for me, illustrate for me, so that we can get something done, because I want to know that you guys are planning for the near future, not for further down the road. I don't want to rebuild. So that rebuild part of it is really interesting to me, because I feel like a lot of players that are at the top of their game and they're seeing themselves on bad teams have that opinion. The J.J. Watts, we've seen they're like, either build this thing right now, or you're going to have to look at letting me go somewhere else, because I'm not going to be happy here. I've got everything I need. Mm-hmm. So far, I've gotten everything that I want. I got the money. I've had the chance to play at the highest level. But now it's time for me to win at the highest level. I'm not saying, do you go make a trade? Yeah, of course you make a trade. You make an offer for Miles Garrett if you have an opportunity to get him. Especially if at the end of the season, Jerry Jones had that discussion with us last week that DeMarcus Lawrence, he thinks, is a Cowboy forever. But, I mean, that's a perfect opportunity to have a player like that opposite of Micah Parsons. But the feeling of, you're not building around me. And that feeling, I always get a little nervous whenever players are starting to sound off like that. They start to, in the Cowboys around here, it isn't typically that way, because the Cowboys are always, we're trying to be competitive. That satisfies the players, it satisfies the fan base, until you get a year like this when they aren't competitive and you're like, what the hell happened?
A quick fix for the Browns would be if Kirk Cousins is available, because he would be cheap. It'd be just like the Russell Wilson going to the Steelers for like $2 million and Denver ate the rest of it. Atlanta's going to eat the most of his contract. But if they're moving on from him, he could fit. You know, they'd have to eat Deshaun Watson's contract anyway. They can't afford anybody else, and you don't have to start from scratch with a rookie and hope you get a draft pick that's decent. You can say, guess what, Kirk Cousins, we can slot you in. The team is already built. We just don't have a quarterback.
Yeah,
that, Jameis might get mad, but
yeah, and I think Jameis is a completely like that's a day worth of conversation, right?
He's so fun to listen to.
He is. I don't know what happened recently. My TikTok is just exploding with Jameis Winston
the quotes
appreciation videos. It's just constant. Like, it's the first thing every time. Tell us about the pain, and he's just pain. It was pain everywhere, and then it's just all these clips of how like entertaining he's been off the field. But that is Jameis Winston is the reality. He is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He is also bad enough to not be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's a weird dichotomy for a guy like him.
Did he like throw 30 picks and 30 touchdowns in the same season?
He's that guy.
Yeah. It's mesmerizing how you can be equally as amazing and equally as terrifyingly bad in certain situations. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy that I would want on the roster just for the moral support. I mean, he's experienced stuff. He started in the league for a long time, so he could at least give you some sort of like veteran presence for maybe if your second string, your true backup is a younger guy that you drafted. Sure, but yeah, I do kind of like the Kirk Cousins idea for Cleveland. I don't hate it just because, like you said, with Deshaun's dead money that they're going to have to eat if they do move on, when they move on. It's inevitable at this point in my mind. They're going to have to look for something very, very cheap. And whether it's drafting and getting a bridge quarterback or just saying we have a lot of talent here still with Jerry Jeudy, with, you know, when healthy, unfortunately, Nick Chubb, with Myles Garrett, so on and so forth. We've got this talent. We got to find a way to make it work. And a veteran quarterback might be the only answer there. So that's the one team that I'm staying far away from if I am a free agent, though. One, because they don't have money. Mm-hmm. And two, what are they going to do? And for Myles Garrett, it's a reasonable question to ask.
Absolutely.
At this point.
Absolutely.
Like, because getting the money has to be amazing. Getting that signing bonus wired to you at 3 a.m, waking up and seeing that, you have to be like, man, this is great. After what, 3 years of just incompetence, general disgusting football, awful decision-making, that money that they theoretically save by extending you and your price is getting cheaper and cheaper each year compared to the market value, that money going towards trading for Deshaun Watson and giving him the single ugliest contract in professional sports history, at some point you have to kind of bat an eye and say, I like what y'all had kind of drawn up, but it's not exactly working.
Yeah, they should have kept Baker. That's all. Just kept Baker. Baker was foolish enough to play on an injured shoulder, and that's what cost him his deal.
You think that was the thing for him, that it was less about, like, he needed to move on because he needed to get out of that organization?
Think
right.
So?
Mm-hmm. Right now, we talk to Stephen Jones, Executive Vice President for your Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Stephen, how are we feeling today?
Oh, we're doing good. I'm really thrilled with our big win yesterday. And, you know, just obviously hats off to the team and our coaches who got them prepared and be real easy to mail it in. But our guys are fighting their ass off against a team who, you know, is a playoff caliber team that needed that win. And I thought we went out and deserved to win the game and held on there at the end.
Stephen, the can you kind of describe your emotions and the emotions kind of around you whenever you saw that Washington got the win and the Cowboys were officially eliminated?
Yeah, I mean, we watched every play all the way to the end, and must say, as long a shot as it was for our team to get in, you know, it was like a gut punch when you know, they ended up Washington ended up winning that game. Obviously, thank the world Dan Quinn and what he's about, and always hard to root for the Eagles anytime, but certainly we were wanting to keep our hopes alive there. But like I said, we're in it to win these games. I think it means a lot to this team, not only for this year, but for our future, you know, to really show people what kind of team we are. We, you know, we've battled through a lot of challenges this year and obviously got off to a, you know, middle of the season there, after we started off 3-2, a bumpy 3-2, but then obviously lost the 5 games there. But I think to show people what kind of what our players are all about. Obviously, Mike and his staff are just doing a hell of a job keeping everybody dialed in, and it means a lot to the organization.
I tell you what, it means a lot to a lot of people who look at teams elsewhere and see some dysfunction. And the Cowboys, they don't have that going on. In fact, I think what you guys have shown this season is you've got some talented players who care through all of this adversity and having the opportunity to show that they're not making business decisions out there. They're trying to win.
Yeah, it was one hell of a game. I think Chris Collinsworth, at one point, we keep him on in the background, and they said, he said it's like we were playing to go to the Super Bowl. There were a lot of licks being passed out there, a lot of wood getting chopped, and a lot of competing going on, both sides of the ball. Hats off to the Bucks. They played their ass off, too. Obviously, we also and have been around him here in Texas and Oklahoma. What a competitor he is. But, that was just a hell of a football game. If you're not you can't enjoy that, you're not a fan of football. And, we're just, like you said, I mean, our guys are in it to show, that they have a lot of pride. And, this is a team that's, been NFC champs and had won 12 games 3 years running. And obviously wanting to show everybody what these guys are all about. And, that's with about over 40% of our salary cap on IR right now. So, and those are some of the guys we think the most of that are some of our biggest competitors as well. But to see CeeDee Lamb out there competing like he's competing already, everybody says, well, they get paid and they don't play the same way. And certainly he's showing everybody that, it's not all about the money. It's about competing and winning and being the best you can be. So hats off to him as well.
Steven, I thought without Eric Kendricks yesterday, you got a really good chance to take a look at some of your linebacker depth in Nick Vigil and Maris Taliaferro. And I thought they played fantastic. What did you see from those young guys?
Well, Maris, a young guy who's obviously just getting going, and he just continues to make plays, punching balls out, all around the ball, making big hits. There was a lot of big hits yesterday, and between him and Wilson and, A.O., our corner, I think we've no telling how many combinations of corners we've had out there, but certainly, guys just out there competing, but Maris played a hell of a game, and then Vigil, just a pro. I mean, he's been in this league a while, veteran guy who knows Mike Zimmer's system, knows how to call, get our defenses lined up and run right. So I thought he really stepped up, and Kendricks is absent and, as you said, played one hell of a game.
That offensive line, it looked like Cooper Rush had time to look around. He looked very calm in the pocket last night. That offensive line feel like it's coming together the way you'd expected it to, or is it kind of still a turnstile at a lot of spots there?
Well, we're obviously having to play several guys, and I have had a lot of combinations this year. But, they're just a good group of men who like to work together. They got a lot of pride in what they do. Obviously, running the ball was tough sledding. We knew that coming in. When you got a guy like Vita Vea in there who's holding down the middle, we knew it would be tough running the ball. But, we did what we had to do to make the plays when we needed to make the plays. And I thought Cooper did a hell of a job. Rico made, ran and got what little what little was there. But I also did a good job catching the ball out of the backfield for us and making some plays there. So, it was just a great team effort, and I fully expect our guys to have a great week of practice and come back and try to give, Philly a problem with their playoff seed. So we're wanting to win these football games. Means a lot, not only for this year, but for our future.
Trying to be the Grinch against Philly. Got to like that a lot.
Spoilers.
There's going to be continue to be this this conversation for the next couple weeks here, and then until anything else is decided. But Mike McCarthy and where he stands with his organization, is that an off-season discussion, off-season decision? Would you like to kind of clarify how you feel about what he's doing in this job?
Well, he's doing a great job, right now. And there, like I said, there's a lot of teams who would have dysfunction with their season being over. And, disenchanted, Mike's kept the group together, not surprising. I mean, Mike's a Super Bowl champion coach who's been to several, NFC championship games. Mike Zimmer, not only has, been a very successful coordinator in this league, but a successful head coach. So this doesn't surprise me. I mean, these guys are professionals, and we'll start worrying about the future when we're through playing the Commanders on our last football game of the year.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen. Appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you next week. Good, sir.
Great being on, guys.
Merry Christmas, Stephen.
Merry Christmas.
Take care.
There he goes. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. And that was, I think that's that conversation right there with McCarthy.
That's a good question.
Just keep pushing it off and they'll talk about it later.
He surgically asked it and he answered it the best he could because, again, there's something to be said. This team has not quit and started pointing fingers at each other. There's something to be said for this adversity. And you just look at the Jets and the Giants and the mess that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a mess. That's what makes it hard to figure out exactly how to take that next step and get out of the first round.
We do have some Cowboys news, regards to the broadcast schedule. We do have a flex for this coming week. Week 17, the Green Bay Packers at Minnesota game has been moved to 3:25 Central, 4:25 Eastern. That means the Cowboys and Eagles game will be played at noon Central.
It makes sense because whoever wins that game between Minnesota and Green Bay wins the first seed in the NFC. It's that clear cut. It's not even just the division. It's the number one seed in the NFC. It's so good, it almost should be Sunday Night Football.
It's a smart decision. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you can't be mad at that.
One, I'm a big fan of the Cowboy noon games because I just want to get it out of the
your
way.
Day over with.
Yes, just get my day moving. I want to enjoy my evening with no stress, no weight on my shoulders. And two, like CA was saying, that's a huge game there. So I'm excited that that's going to be America's Game of the Week.
All right. Well, there it is right there. We'll have more information as it comes to you. That's what we do here on 105.3 The Fan. We stay live. We stay local with all these great hosts we have on this station. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with Jared Sandler. Talk a little bit about what the Rangers did and what their next moves might be next in The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, I got Alec Medford by my side, along with Mr. Chris Arnold, the three-time, potentially four-time Hall of Famer. Depends on when that next one rolls out.
I say five.
Always in the KNC Hall of Fame for sure. And coming up here in about 20 minutes, we will have a CA Sports, courtesy of Mr. Chris Arnold. But right now, it is time to talk with our friend Jared Sandler, who is our Texas Rangers insider. Jared, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, Jared.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Happy holidays. I'm doing great.
Are the Rangers
doing well, too?
Rangers keeping you busy?
Yeah, right before Christmas Eve, just sneaking it all in. Let's do it. Let's trade for Ohtani and make all the moves here in the next 24 hours. And we can not have to worry about it over the next couple weeks.
This offseason so far, Jared, has actually been pretty productive for Chris Young and the Rangers. Do you see the vision? Do you see what they're trying to accomplish? And are they successfully executing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it changes year to year, but the previous year gives you a blueprint for, how you, in a lot of cases, are going to pursue, roster building for that next year. And, let's just take this reported Jock Peterson signing. The Rangers had a big need to improve their offensive production against right-handed pitching. And independent of that, righty or lefty, they needed to improve their production against fastballs. And you look at the two guys that they've acquired, Jake Berger and Jock Peterson, both hit fastballs really, really well. And Jock Peterson hits righties as well as just about anyone in Major League Baseball. And that is not, hyperbole. There are 11 guys in the majors last year who ranked in the top 15 and on base slugging an OPS against righties, 10 all-stars from last year, and Jock Peterson, and he is...
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stink Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A pretty impressive group of hitters when you look at his numbers against righties. Now, he is a platoon hitter these days, unless the Rangers feel like they can change that. I don't know that that's the plan, but against righties, he is an all-star caliber hitter, and it will be great to have that sort of thump in the middle of the lineup.
with Nate, losing Nate Lowe, what is the, like, what are you losing with him?
A podcast host?
No, okay.
yeah, losing a podcast host, for one, for sure. And there are a lot of people who reached out about that and appreciate that. We'll have some answers about that, I'm sure, in short time, who's going to step in. But, one of the things that made sense about adding Joc Pederson is that he gets on base and he draws walks and he sees pitches. I think one of the underrated parts of what Nate Lowe brought was that in a lineup with a lot of aggressive hitters, he was not necessarily aggressive in that way. He was, he was willing to see pitches. It's not about taking walks, right? Corey Seager draws walks too, but Corey Seager is going to go up there and he's ready to swing right away. As frequently as just about anyone in baseball. Whereas Nate Lowe was a guy who balanced out Seager and Josh Young and Marcus Semien and Adolis Garcia and these aggressive hitters. And Jake Berger is in that category, too. So in losing Nathaniel Lowe, they needed to make sure, I'm of the opinion, they needed to make sure that they could find someone who would balance that out. I think, in general, you want your team to be in the middle of the league when it comes to aggression. You don't necessarily want to be on either end of the spectrum to an extreme. So, on top of that, you can't discount Nathaniel Lowe was the starting first baseman on a World Series winning team.
Yep.
He won a Gold Glove. He won a Silver Slugger. He did a lot of things really well. But to me, the unique element of what he brought to the lineup was that. And I think that's another area in which Joc Pederson will hopefully help fill that void.
I went back and forth with some people on Twitter about this last night. Now that void is there at first base, how worried, I guess, are you? Or are you at least intrigued to see what happens defensively with first base?
Yeah, so first base is one of those positions where you take for granted good defensive play at first until you don't have it, right? For years, the Rangers went from, one really good Gold Glove caliber first baseman to the next. And then they got some poor defensive play at first, and then Nathaniel Lowe came along, and he wasn't that great his first year, and then worked and became a Gold Glove winning first baseman. And so, if Jake Berger is going to be that guy more often than not, or Joc Pederson, that's probably going to be a step down. Now, if you were to rank all the positions in the field, first base is the one maybe that would rank the lowest. Maybe you could justify corner out like a left field spot, although to me you'd probably take more of a chance rolling the dice at first base than a corner outfield spot. But hopefully with Corey Ragsdale, who's done a great job helping grow some of these infielders, they can get some work and improve. It doesn't need to be a Gold Glove caliber. One thing that's worth noting, in terms of scoop percentage, which a lot of times people look at that from a first base standpoint, Jake Berger is only 2 percentage points below Nathaniel Lowe. So it's not like it's some major drop off there, but that is definitely going to be an area that, people will be monitoring, especially in spring training. And we'll see what moves the Rangers make between now and spring training to maybe give a better idea of things. But yeah, I think that is an area you've got to definitely consider.
As far as the return for Nate Lowe and that pitching depth, are you super excited about that, or is that one that you're just like, no, that's going to be something we see as competitive for this, but we still have more to do in the bullpen?
Well, I'd say both. I mean, they definitely have more to do. I'll tell you though, Corey, I was pleasantly surprised when I looked at Robert Garcia's numbers to learn some of the things that I learned, and I'm not going to regurgitate all of it, but I tweeted a little thread. But essentially, I mean, he's got a great strikeout to walk ratio, which is one of those stats that helps, maybe the sustainability of success. He is a lefty who is good at getting lefties and righties out. He's really good at getting righties because of a good changeup, and that's helped neutralize righties for him. People are naturally, and I get it, I don't blame people for doing this, but, people are naturally going to look at ERA first when they look at, a pitcher's stats. But I think for relievers, we've learned that sometimes that's deceiving. And you look at some other metrics that maybe eliminate the things that a pitcher can't control that can be exacerbated in small sample, like bad defense or things of that nature. And you come up with a stat called fielding independent pitching. It's abbreviated as FIP, F-I-P. And he ranked near the top of all relievers in that category, which is essentially a stat that suggests that over a larger sample size, your ERA should gravitate more to that number, right? So, you know, he had a really good FIP, and it makes sense with the strikeout-to-walk number. So one of the things that he's got to work on is the durability and the ability to pitch back-to-back games, which is obviously something that is important for a reliever. But I do think in Robert Garcia, the Rangers acquired someone who will be a part of their bullpen. But, yes, they still have more work to do. Who's going to pitch the ninth? Who's going to pitch the eighth? You know, I think those are questions that still need to be answered. What's Josh Ford's health looking like? Because he can be an answer to one of those questions if he is healthy coming off of surgery this offseason.
Hey, Jarrett, this is kind of random, but I was thinking about the outfielders and the batting order, and I started thinking, wow, we haven't heard much about Evan Carter lately. And the last we heard was his back was kind of messed up. Have you heard anything at all about Evan Carter and how he's looking going into the upcoming season? Spring training.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be healthy and ready to go as best as we know. I don't think there's been any sort of setback, since the ablation removal. I think for Evan, I don't know that I'd say that he's competing for a roster spot, but I do think it's fair if you want to take the maybe glass half empty side of it and say, well, he had a great 2 months, but then when he was, you know, healthy last year, the production wasn't very good. And who is this guy? I think the glass half full approach would be, well, he's playing through a back injury, and that's probably not a fair measure. And the reality is both sides probably have merit. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you're still in a learning mode with Evan Carter. You know, what type of hitter will he be over a larger sample size once the league develops a book on him? And is he a platoon guy? Is he someone who, you know, you only really love against righties? Or is he someone who's going to be able to develop the necessary skills to, be an everyday player, lefty or righty? You know, I think those are some of the things that the Rangers are going to have to answer. And, we'll see, again, with how they build their roster, if Evan Carter is going to be in a position to get those opportunities right away. Or, you know, maybe the Rangers will tell us all we need to know if they build a roster where Evan Carter is really only, if everyone's healthy, in a position to start against right-handed pitching.
Is somebody honking horn at you, man?
I'm standing outside. No one's honking at me, but I did look to see if there was a car accident.
There you go.
I assume it was someone who was listening to me, and they're like, yeah. Stanley, shut up.
Tolo.
Exactly.
Or they were just furious with whatever he said, and they were like, I'll let him know right now. Forgive me if I miss this, Jared, but is Kirby Yates like a prize possession? Is he something that the Rangers desperately want to have back?
I think the Rangers would love to have Kirby back. I think at some point, just like a lot of these conversations, it's just the, you know, the dollars and cents. And I think the Rangers are trying to put themselves in a position to bring Kirby back. And I think my understanding is financially, I think they can, but maybe, you know, they also now are considering, is it Kirby or is it this guy or that guy? And maybe they're not going to be able to get Kirby and Tanner Scott, but maybe they can get one or the other. And Tanner Scott's a name I threw out there just because he's, you know, one of the more coveted remaining free agent relievers. I don't know that the Rangers are really in on Tanner Scott, to be honest with you. I think he'll probably get a, you know, I don't know, 3 years, $45 million, $50 million. Could he get 3 years, $60 million? I guess that's possible. I doubt it, but Tanner Scott's not going to be cheap. Whereas Kirby Yates might be another, 2 year deal with an option after the first year type of thing. And he'll definitely earn more than he did last year, but he's still out there. And I think the Rangers would definitely love to have Kirby. And my understanding is that if it made sense, I think Kirby would love to be with the Rangers as well.
Jared Sandor on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on the KNC Masterpiece. Would a familiar name and face in Chris Martin be an option?
Yeah, I think because of maybe recent health things with Chris, he probably wouldn't be as expensive as maybe the numbers would suggest, but he's been really effective. You know, his split finger has allowed him to have a shelf life that has, extended past what we believe to be a pitcher's, physical prime. And I think we're learning here these days, whether it's with a starter or a reliever, pitchers who maybe don't throw a ton of innings early on, in their 20s because of injury or what have you,
they don't follow that you know, typical bell curve that maybe a position player might. And that's why you see guys have a lot of success, you know, deep into their 30s, maybe, again, like a Kirby Yates, who really, you know, his age and his innings count don't match up because of injury. So, yeah, I think a guy like Chris Martin could make sense, you know, as they continue to build. And there's definitely, I think financially, if I had a guess, probably room for both Chris Martin and a closer. I don't, and maybe the Rangers decide that they want Chris Martin to be that guy, maybe to be the ninth inning guy. But I think you could also pair him with someone else to help fill out maybe the final six outs of a game.
Well, Jared, really appreciate your time, good sir. If anything else breaks, if the Rangers continue to make some moves like this, which I'm guessing they probably will, you going to be available for us, man?
I'll be available, and I don't know if it's going to happen before Christmas, but the Rangers aren't done, and you know, free agency. I also would not be surprised if the Rangers, you know, were still active in the trade market. They have a surplus of position player depth in the organization, and I think they'll use that to help build out their roster.
Oh yes, CY.
Thank you very much, Jared. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Jared.
Hey, see you, fellas. Happy holidays.
There you go. Happy holidays.
Never forget that Chris Young once closed a deal on Christmas Day.
His wife will never
Christmas. He was like, I got to get this done. I want a World Series. By the way, I don't know if everybody saw this, but when Tank Dell went down against the Kansas City Chiefs, he goes down, terrible knee injury, catches the ball, grabs the ball, secures it, gets the touchdown, and writhes in pain. D'Amico Ryans just told reporters, dislocated knee, where he also tore his ACL and other damage. He'll have off-season surgery. I guess the big question
sounds like overshown.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This late in the season, have an injury like that, it like pushes everything. I had a dislocated knee before. And it took a little while to recover from that part of it, but now you're having surgery on top of those things too. That's going to be like for him next year. There's a lot of doubt what's going on with his season next year.
I just hope he doesn't become one of those greatest what ifs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I really do think that connection, one in that offense that has gotten a lot of flack this season, but I think most of it is to blame on the offensive line play.
A lot of it, yes.
The connection between him and CJ Stroud on the field has been phenomenal to watch. When he is available, when Tank Dell is healthy and available, it's been really, really good alongside Nico Collins. That's
and
a great
when Nico
one too.
Collins is healthy, that's
exactly.
really good.
He's the Robin to Nico Collins' Batman.
Yeah.
He really is. It works, and it also sucked to see just because them two, Tank Dell and CJ Stroud, are legit best friends off the field too. So to see how just physically torn up CJ was, it looked like he wanted to hop in that medical cart with him and go to the hospital with him. Yeah. Like he was like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to watch him get wheeled out of here. So the whole situation sucks. I just hope that he is able to come back and look like himself, because he already had one season ending injury last year on a play that honestly, I thought he shouldn't have been involved in. So that was kind of bad play design there. Why are you having him line up like with the offensive line to block on a running play at the goal line? Snapped his ankle. He's tiny. Yeah, that one was just a freak injury that you couldn't have seen that coming from a mile away. But yeah, I hope the best for him, and hopefully the damage is minimal compared to what it looked like. I know the ACL tear isn't great, but sometimes with knee dislocations, it's kind of a mixed bag until they get in there and see the damage.
I thought it was
a
broken fibula or tibula.
Oh,
or
yeah.
I thought there was a break at the shin.
It looked like compound something bone related was going on there, but luckily it was just the kneecap was not where it was supposed to be, which is still a bad thing, but it's better than a bone break.
Yes. Yes. As somebody who's experienced that, I would say so. It is now time here on the KNC Masterpiece for CA Sports.
Yeah, let's do this. Last night I was in the Cowboys locker room, and as we know, they won only for the second time at home this season, compared to 16 straight home victories for the last couple of years. And I have seen this team, and I've seen a lot of locker rooms, I've seen a lot of Cowboys locker rooms over the years of guys being demoralized or guys being, the season isn't going their way, whatever the thing may be. And I want the Tolos and Cowboy fans to listen to some of this locker room audio from the guys I was talking to last night, because it kind of paints the picture of, through all of this adversity, these guys are a team. They love their coaches. The coaches love them. They love each other. And I'm like, wait
a minute.
They
don't care about your draft pick scenarios right now either.
Yeah, and put it like this. They knew when the game kicked off last night that their playoff chances, minimum as they were gone. And that could have been a time to, you know, we don't care. You know, we got to stay healthy, whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's not the way they were feeling. And there were big plays made by the defense. The offense was great the first half. Props to Cooper Rush for having a great first half. Second half, they kind of didn't do anything. But the defense was all over the place. And Deron Bland actually saved the game when Baker Mayfield was making this clutch play where they could kick a field goal and he passes it off to the runner and then he fumbled the ball.
He just ripped it out of his hands.
He took it. So let's start with this Deron Bland audio first because he was kind of like the unsung hero at the end of the game.
Good cut, Deron Bland. We don't have it numbered.
It's at the very bottom, James, where you put it.
Oh, he's.
You want the whole interview right here?
Yes.
Yeah, you want the whole thing?
It's all only 45 seconds. My goodness.
I got you.
Don't question. Just play it. Trust me.
I got you.
Deron Bland, congratulations. That was a great victory tonight. Can you talk about how the defense was strong from start to finish?
For the whole game, we kind of kept him in under control for a little bit. But towards the end, we kind of had some mess up. It felt good to come out in the end and stay strong and not let up and give him another touchdown.
Well, let's talk about the end because you sealed it with the fumble recovery. Talk about that play. What happened, what you see, and what you did?
Baker was getting out the pocket and he threw that ball out. And the running back kind of had it loose. So I was like, I got to go get there. So I tried to get there so quick and just get the ball and make a play.
Congratulations and Merry Christmas.
I appreciate it.
Ron Bland.
Let me tell you something. Those guys were excited after that game.
I really like hearing him. Last year, whenever he was having his wild success, we reached out multiple times. We're like, hey, can we talk to Deron? And they were like, we don't know if he's ready yet.
He's really low-key and quiet.
And that is part of like the media game is a lot of times the PR team will be like, hey, this is a great guy or he's not quite ready for it yet. They didn't expect, like they hadn't put him through the school yet.
Yeah.
They hadn't put him through the PR school yet, and so they didn't expect it. Hearing him just now, that was great. I like hearing Deron Bland. I'm very sad that he wasn't there for most of this year.
Exactly, with his injury to start the season. Speaking of injuries, here's CeeDee Lamb playing the entire season with this bad shoulder. So talk to CeeDee Lamb. I started off, and then the rest of the media gang jumped in.
CeeDee, can you talk about the fight in this team because you guys refuse to go away?
It's great to see, obviously, the grit that we've gone through, the situation that we're obviously in. But as for us, we're showing gratitude to the game, showing how much we love and appreciate everything and every opportunity that we get, and going out there and playing our ass off.
Let's talk about the play where you hurt your shoulder and then the next play where you almost thought you had the touchdown.
I really scored. But.
But on what?
Oh, he said, I really scored. That's it. That's where it ended.
He actually talked some more, and he talked about the shoulder. I guess we got to kind of cut up over there. But he talked about his shoulder and playing through all this, and he was talking about how people might have thought he's just playing for the money. He said, you play for the money, but this is what I do. I'm playing the game that I love. And he said, I want my teammates to know that I can play through this, that they can count on me. I'm paraphrasing him, but that was mostly what he was talking about. And then Micah Parsons, who was very animated after the game in a very positive way. That's what I'm saying. Like, he said he wanted to be a leader, but he really wasn't showing it about the things that he was doing early on. He is totally bought into his role and what Mike Zimmer is wanting them to do. Here is some Micah Parsons.
Micah, can you talk about the defense dominating in this victory? Because you guys are doing it.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we stepping up, we showing out, we doing everything that I said we would do. And the king is, man, we got to keep finishing strong. At this point, I think it's just about letting the world be known what we're capable of. And fighting for our lives.
Earlier in the day, Washington won that game. Did that dampen anything? It seemed like you guys really didn't even care.
Nothing really mattered at that point. We had, 0.2% chance? So, like I said, it was nothing about what Philly or anybody was doing. It had everything to do with us, our character, and what we believe in each other. No, I think that's the best part. We got nothing to lose. They got everything to lose. Seeding, positioning, potential elimination. So it's good to be on the opposite end there. That was not good, but it's nice.
Right. Mike, you're now 50 sacks, very, very select group.
Hey, Tony.
Reggie White on that last year. When you think about that, what does that mean to you, what you've been able to accomplish in your career so far?
Man, that's some legendary stuff, man. But that's the halfway mark of the end goal. You know what I'm saying? We want to get to 100 career. We eventually want to get to that, you know, Hall of Fame status. You know, I just did half of what they accomplished. That's not good enough. So we got to keep going, keep stacking these years. The bar is already high, you know, so I just got to keep, you know, just keep going.
Is this the year of overcoming? I say this because defensively, you guys had different injuries. You were injured yourself. You had to learn a new defense with Zim's new defense compared to DQ's. Can you talk about the defense as far as overcoming all these different obstacles to be successful?
Yeah, like I said, you know, earlier this week, it was more of, you know, proving people wrong. I think everyone had this written off and everyone kind of decided our future for us. And we were just like, hold on. We could be a damn good football team and we could win games. It's just, it's on us. Forget it. We lose our quarterback. We lose some other players. Mm-hmm. Okay, acceptance, reality. Now, where are we at? How are we going to get better? What do we have to fix? What do we have to look at? And that's what we've been doing every day, you know, and everyone's trying to get better. Doing better, you know, rushing better, controlling the run better, offense is moving the ball better, trying to limit us getting off the field. So we've been playing way better complimentary football. It just sucks we waited this long, you know, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's Mike. And again, he's sounding more like a leader, isn't he?
Yes.
He's kind of acting like, oh, when he was doing this stuff this summer, I was like, no, that's not what a leader does. He's really stepped into the role. Maybe he had to grow into it.
Yeah, maybe it was watching from the sidelines that kind of made him realize a couple things. He definitely does sound more like he's trying to get guys to follow him in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I hate for him. Like, I really do hate for him this kind of season.
Yeah.
Because of how competitive I know he is. I wanted to go back with CeeDee Lamb real quick, if you don't mind, CA. Mm-hmm. One of my notes was CeeDee Lamb is so good. If you don't love him, I'm not quite sure what you're wanting from your best receiver. And he had 100 yards and 6 catches by halftime.
Yeah.
And like, he is consistent. It doesn't seem like there was a time, Alec, earlier in his career where it seemed like he had the dropsies.
Yep.
And maybe early this season he had a moment like that. But since then, it has just been fire from this guy. So I am kind of curious, when people are still like, I know he got the big contract and people were upset about that.
And Steven came training, on. Yeah, missed training camp.
Steven came on minutes ago and was like, I think, you know, a lot of people get concerned about you pay a guy, he's gonna slack off.
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee has not done that.
Not
so I
all.
Am kind of curious for anybody that doesn't like CeeDee Lamb at this point, what's the reason? I don't understand what it would be at this point.
I don't think there's any knock at this point, like you're saying. And I mean, he even addressed it a little bit yesterday, saying, like, I think all that talk about because of the money, you know, and everybody was questioning where's the heart at during the negotiations. The fact that he's going out there and he can barely lift his arm up, you know.
And he's doing it with a backup quarterback.
Exactly. And he's still making these circus catches. And, you know, you heard himself. He said, I scored on that, by the way, which, no, he didn't. But I like the competitive spirit there. I never had any questions. I had questions about would he be a true number one a couple years ago because of the dropsies that you mentioned, but the football character of CeeDee Lamb, I never questioned, and I'm glad that, at least in my eyes, some of those questions need to just be dissolved right now.
And finally, I talk with Butter, the kicker who never misses, and in a way, remember, Mickey was talking about earlier that Mike McCarthy made one change that he doesn't normally make, which is we're going to take the ball first and make a statement. Well, they marched down the field, and they had to kick this field goal. Well, I asked Brandon Aubrey. I mean, he makes most of the field goals anyway. But what if he didn't make that field goal? I'm thinking it might suck the life out of the team. So I asked him, I said, hey, kind of pressure on you with that first field goal.
Brandon Aubrey, you guys had a nice victory. But let me say, again, you started it off with a nice field goal. Was there any extra pressure on you knowing that the length was, you know, the long field goal and, you know, you had to make a statement on the first drive?
No, every kick comes with a lot of pressure. So as a kicker in the NFL, you need everyone to go through the uprights. So I wouldn't say there's any more pressure on the longer ones. Might even be a little bit of the opposite. Although now it might be building with people just kind of expecting you to make it when you're out there. So no more pressure on any of those kicks.
How many field goals have you made now?
This year, I've...
I mean,
period as a NFL player.
It's a lot. 36 last year, probably like 33, 34-ish this year, so around 70.
Yeah, I think you're the fastest to kick 70.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah.
I love that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And by the way, congratulations on the victory. Did it damper at all earlier that Washington won that game? Because it seemed like everybody's still motivated and everybody's still very, very excited tonight.
Yeah, obviously watching the game, very emotionally charged for us. I can speak for myself. I wasn't watching with anyone else, just at home, get a chance to watch it before coming in. And obviously it sucks, but we've prepared for a game and we know that that's a possibility. So we're not focused on anything other than winning a game and putting good film out there. A lot of guys on expiring contracts, coaching staff. We're playing for ourselves, we're playing for our teammates, we're playing for our coaching staff. No one wants to lose games, so I mean, we're all competitive people. Everyone despises losing, so we'll find a way to win the game when we can.
Well, congratulations, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas.
You got a locker room full of competitors. Whether you're building the team or not, you got to keep that in mind. And that's why I like watching these games when there's nothing at stake. It's not about did he go to the playoffs. I want to see who we want to keep. I want to see, eliminate the guys who are just not even there for a good reason, because you can't count on them in adversity. It's like foxhole mentality. This season, I have found out who I want to keep. I found out who don't need to be there no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to know these things, as well as what the draft picks might do, as well as what kind of guys you might want to trade for, as well as maybe you sign a free agent. You just don't ignore all the rest of it and hone in on one part of the strategy of team building.
I am kind of curious to see if they take that level of competitiveness this next week and the next week, like, because when you don't have any reason to do it,
I think they will. And Micah was talking about that later when we were talking to him. He was talking about he thinks it'll even carry over to next season because you learn from this stuff. Mm-hmm. As a guy who plays football, as a competitor, he's talking about you learn lessons along the way through all of this stuff that you won't do the next year, that you won't do in that same situation. You know, like touch the football on a punt. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You learn these things. So this is the season. You say it sucked for the season, but guess what? It's like anything in life. You learn from the mistakes, or you let the mistakes define you. One or the other.
Great stuff from CA right there. Nice stuff in the locker room, man. Thank you very much for bringing that to the table today. And he's with us all week, ladies and gentlemen, as well as Alec Medford. And coming up next, though, it is the C Block starring me. So we'll do that next in the fan.